the hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Oh, thank you very much. Happy to be here. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you. Okay. Happy to be here. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago. We are in the midst of changing some equipment here in the studio, so if you hear any breaking up or cracking, I totally apologize, but bear with me, stick with me. We're in the midst of changing some stuff around. So for the better, it could be some time now, but I'm going to try and do the show, even though it's probably on a weaker network because of my original internet provider. They went out of business. They're gone. They're no more. So I had to go with another internet provider, which I don't believe is providing good service. So, it just has to take some time. It's going to take some time, so I'm going to keep doing the show. So if you hear any cracks in the show or it's breaking up or something, bear with me. I'm going to try and do the show, and hope for the best. So far it seems like it's going okay, but I have no idea. If it's on your end, please call and let me know so I can apologize. Okay. All right. So on the show today is romance writer Elissa Gabriel. She will talk about her work. We'll see in a little while about that. So she'll talk about her work. So she's a romance writer. And like I said before, I always love having writers on the show. They are so interesting. They are so, so interesting and so dedicated to the work, what they do. I'm also a writer. So that's probably what makes me gel with so many other authors out there, because we are brothers and sisters in the word. As I constantly say, okay, let's move right along. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I'm hoping to make it through this show today, knowing that I have brand new equipment, a brand new server, and I'm not too sure about. But I will assure you, sometime in the near future, we will have this show up working properly and soon. All right, here we go. So we will have romance writer Elissa Gabriel. I will have her. I invited her on the show to talk about her work. And it should be interesting. It should be very, very interesting. So stick around for that. All right. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Check me out on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. Check me out on Google. Google. Okay, I'm getting these pop-ups. So, so I guess that happens. All right. All righty. So Ben Carson. Okay. Ben Carson, he's getting civil service protection. Him and Donald Trump. And he makes some of the crazy exact sayings. He said that pyramids in Egypt were built to store grain. And a lot of people are disputing that, because he does make some really, really outrageous assertion on questions. And this guy is leading in the polls. Nationally, a Republican, he's leading in the polls. And a lot of talk show hosts are calling this guy sleepy. They say he looks like he's on some kind of drugs or something when he's talking. He says things and he, doesn't back them up. He contradicts himself. He lies. He doesn't seem he really knows what he's talking about. But somehow people just love this guy. I don't understand it. They're talking about a heads up with Ben Carson and Hillary Clinton. Not Trump, Ben Carson. I mean, he's a good-looking guy. I mean, he's not too bad on the eyes, but he doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't talk about the issues. Healthcare, the economy, jobs, infrastructure. He doesn't talk just like every other Republican. Doesn't talk about those things. He doesn't talk about them. But he's leading. My theory is, my thinking is that Republicans are uniting behind Ben Carson because they're just tired of Washington insiders. Ben Carson is an outsider. Of course, he doesn't know anything about nothing about running for office. You know, I mean, that's prevalent. He talks slow. He talks in a low tone. He looks as if he's a very quiet man. He's been sued numerous times. He's a doctor. He's been sued numerous times, malpractice. But somehow they just love him, especially Eagle General Christians, okay? They love this guy. And a lot of us are scratching my head, a lot of us are scratching our heads and saying, why? Why? But, you know, I've come to the conclusion that people are just pissed off at the status quo. They want a change. They want somebody different. They don't want a politician. They don't want Jeb Bush. They don't want, I mean, none of the Republican candidates up there. They don't want Carla Fiorina. They don't want her. They want Ben Carson. They don't even want Marco Rubio. And some people are calling Ben Carson another Urkel. You remember Urkel from Family Matters? Situation comedy from over 20 years ago. They're calling him, and he's got a new book out, and a lot of people are disputing some of the claims in the book, such as he was a tough guy. Ben Carson does not look like a tough guy. And a lot of his friends that he'd grown up with said they don't believe that. He said he was a bookworm. So a lot of things that he says, Ben Carson, are questionable. It's questionable. But he's in the lead. He's in the lead because people are just sick and tired of the same old crap in Washington. So they're galvanizing behind Ben Carson. And a lot of us are just, like I said, scratching our heads and say, what in the hell? Ben Carson, I mean, he's getting money from all over the place. They're trying to buy him off. I don't know if that's being successful or not, but he's in the polls. So now he has what they call like a bullseye on his back. Since he's a front runner, all the other Republicans that's in this race, and that's about 15 or 20 of them or something like that, they're all going to be targeting Ben Carson. And I would, if I was those Republicans, before I jump on Ben Carson because he's in the lead, I would do that, because if you're trying to jump on this guy, this quiet, mild-mannered guy, this nerdy-looking guy, I think you're just going to make people want to vote for him more, because they're going to see you as a bully, see you as picking on him, because you're trying to make him look bad so he can lose votes, and hopefully that votes will go to you. But I think that would backfire on a lot of Republicans if they try to, you know, make Ben Carson look bad. I think he's going to get more voters, more Republican voters. So it's ironic, but, you know, it's weird, it's strange that a lot of people are just jumping on his bandwagon. And a lot of us are saying, why? The guy doesn't know Jack. The guy contradicts every statement he makes. He says things that are outrageous, that are just ridiculous. There's been so many people fact-checking everything that he said. And majority of everything he said, if not all, is wrong. I think people are just going for this guy to try to put your asses together. Or we will vote for Ben Carson, somebody who knows nothing about nothing, not even his own profession, from what I understand and what I've read, because he's been have malpractice suits up his ass. I think he got away with that for somehow. But Ben Carson, an African-American Republican who's running for president of the United States for 2016, is leading in the polls. And we've all heard him talk. We've all seen him. And most of us saying this guy is whacked out. He's in outer space someplace. But, hey, he's leading in the polls, and people are really excited about him. They're excited about it. And we're wondering, level-headed people are wondering, why? Why? Because I think they're just fed up with politicians. Some people don't like politicians, especially the corrupt ones, the ones who lie, they smile in your face. You know, there's a lot of reasons why people are galvanizing to this nerdy guy. I have nothing against Ben Carson. I've been like other people. I've been like other people who have watched him in debates. I've watched him on television. I've watched him in videos. I've watched past videos of Ben Carson. And the guy contradicts himself. I'm perplexed. I'm baffled. I'm bewildered to why he's leading in the polls. And Donald Trump isn't. Or Jeb Bush isn't. Well, we know why Jeb Bush. They don't want Jeb Bush. But at least Donald Trump. Donald Trump is baffled. But they're going to try to take him down. I would venture to warn Donald Trump and some of the other candidates, do not jump on Ben Carson. Because if you jump on Ben Carson, hey, you just might give him the presidency of the United States, because they're going to look at you guys as bullies, picking on a quiet guy. You know, but he's running for the president of the United States. He's running for president of the United States. He should be able to take these things, but I don't know. I don't know. It's funny, and it's bizarre as it is, but this guy is really, really serious. This is really something serious. And, you know, so, hey, we'll just have to see where that goes. I'm still stunned that this guy could wind up being the president of the United States, Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson. And, wow, you know, so, I don't know. George Bush, he wrote a book, and he bashed Donald Rumsfeld and Cheney. You know, so and that's getting plenty of news. So, but I don't want to talk about that. You know, Ben Carson is more fun. Okay, let's see what we have here. I got it right here. Ben Carson. Carson leads Trump by 12 points in New Hampshire. 12 points. He's leading. And the guy do not know Jack. Okay, let's see what it says. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I have 614 straight up. I'm waiting for my guest, Elissa Gabrielle, romance writer. I guess you said, wow, George, you got a romance writer on your show. I thought you were about politics. Hey, I like to diversify, you know, so, and that's fun. And I love talking to authors, period, because that's, I mean, each author is different. I wish I could get Elizabeth Warren on the show. Who? Maybe next time, and she's a senator, okay? We can try. I'm pretty sure she'd probably accept if I asked her. So, this is George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It is so beautiful. It's nighttime, but it feels like spring. It is 68 degrees. Can you imagine that? It's feeling like springtime in Chicago, but I'm hearing that the weather will not last. It's spring, but it will not last. All right. I'm going to say this again. If you hear any breaking up or cracking in the show, bear with me. You know, bear with me because I'm in the midst of getting some new equipment, changing things around a little bit, and things have been out of whack for a while. I haven't been on the radio since last Sunday. And if you missed those shows from last Sunday, Saturday, Friday, Thursday, last week, just go download them, archive them, listen to them. They're great shows. They're great shows. I'm talking about some of the same things now as I did then. But Ben Carson, this is new. Let me see if the computer acts. See, my computers are acting up as I'm doing this. And let me see what we got. Okay, Ben Carson has a double-digit lead in North Carolina over the rest of the 2016 GOP presidential field in a new poll. Wow. He's leading everybody. If you ever watch him in a giving an interview, it looks like he's going to sleep. It looks like his eyes are actually they are closed. His eyes are closed. He looks dreamy and all that kind of thing, and he really doesn't know what to do, you know. But people are putting him over the top. Carson takes 31% Republican leaning voters in the state, according to the Elon University survey released Thursday. This gives him a 12-point lead over his closest competition, and that's Donald Trump, who is 19%, if I can get this. All right, the rest of them are behind. Donald Trump leads Rubio. Okay, we're not talking about Rubio. Carson overtook the outspoken billionaire, placed atop the Real Clear Politics average. The problem is, the thing is, that this man is out front. Some people feel that his lead will last. I think it's going to last. Actually, I think his lead is going to grow. I really do. And I would, like I said before, I would caution the rest of the Republican field from jumping on Carson. Some of them feel he has a bullseye on his back, and they're going to try and, you know, shoot him down in the debates. And I've cautioned him, because if you try that, you know, you just may put him over the top forever. The guy, whatever he's doing, he's good at it. He's very good at it. He is good at it. You know, if we can move right along. Okay. Now, that was the election. I think it was on Wednesday. Was it Tuesday? Tuesday, November 3rd, November 4th. Okay, the elections in Kentucky and Oregon, you know, for these Tea Partiers. I mean, the reason why the Republicans won in Kentucky, Oregon, and another state is because simply people did not vote. That's why they won. And Republicans won a lot of the offices around the state about a few days ago because people did not vote. And I get on the air almost every day, starting every Thursday and go all the way to Sunday, and I talk my ass off about getting out there and vote. Apparently nobody's hearing me. But I'm not the only one out there that's saying get the vote out. Apparently, you know, there's so many reasons why people will not vote. And it's a shame. Sometimes people will not vote because they don't like the candidate who's running. Sometimes people are doing so. Sometimes people will not vote because they just don't want to vote. But, you know, and then there's a lot of people who will vote but will vote against their interests. Because I saw this guy on television the other day, and he was bashing the Democrats. He was bashing liberals and progressives. And he looked like he was around 65, 75 years old on Social Security or getting some sort of a pension. And this is the guy who would run out and vote for a Republican after watching Fox News. This guy is like so many other Americans who will run out and vote for a Republican to take away what they're getting. This is what I call voting against your interest. Majority of the people who are voting against their interest are people over 60, 65, the elderly, some seniors, voting against their own interest. And this is not good. The Democrats, they always losing. Why do they lose? Because they're not like the Republicans. Republicans are fighters. The Democrats are not fighters. They sit back, even though the Democrats, they have the right message. but they just don't know how to fight. The Republicans, they fight. They fight for what they want, and they get it, and they win. Democrats have the right issues, but they don't fight, and they lose. They lose, like Rauner in Illinois. I mean, we're going into our fifth or sixth month without a budget. The Democrats are sitting back, laying back, and letting him do this. They're not fighting. And I don't mean physically. Verbally is fine, or just overriding this guy and just doing your jobs that you get paid for. Because Rauner is definitely not doing his job, and he doesn't give a damn about doing it. He wants to bust unions. He's holding everybody's hostage. It's a damn shame that in this state, you can't, if you play the lottery, you cannot get your winnings. You cannot get your winnings if you play the lottery. There's been daycare centers that I used to know of and that I used to take my son to. They're closed. People have closed up. 60,000 kids have been kicked out in the street because of Rauner. Daycare centers have just closed up. The employees, they don't have jobs anymore. Working families don't have anywhere to take their kids so they can go off and work and pay the rent or pay the mortgage. Going into the sixth month. Yeah, December will be the sixth month. That's a damn shame. And nobody is talking, nobody is meeting, nobody is doing anything, just letting the state just go right over a damn cliff. Go right over a cliff. They're getting their paychecks, but there's so many people who aren't. And they're the cause of people who are not getting their paychecks. 60,000 people work for the state of Illinois. It's going to be a time come. That's going to come where they're not going to get paid. They almost didn't get paid about 3 or 4 months ago until a judge stepped in. But the controllers keep saying that the money's running out. And if the money runs out, it doesn't matter what a judge says or what a judge does not say. If your money runs out, you can't pay it. It just cannot be paid, period. No matter how many judges or courts order you to pay it. If it's not there, it's not there. But you see, Rauner knows this. And Cullerton knows this, Madigan knows this, but somehow nobody's meeting, nobody's talking, but there will be a meeting. Actually, let me say this. They haven't met since May. That's a damn shame. These guys, the leaders of Illinois, Bruce Rauner, the governor, if you listen to the show, you know how I feel about him. Michael Madigan, the leader in the House of Representatives, John Cullerton, the leader of the Illinois Senate. These guys have not met together to pull this state out of the toilet since May. Since May. Obviously, they don't like each other. They don't want to be around each other. They don't. But the residents of Illinois stuck in the middle of this fight. These guys are fighting all online. These guys are fighting in the media. We know they don't like each other. A lot of people don't like Rauner. Quite a few. And he knows it. He says he just ignores them, you know. But he would have to ignore them because he's not doing his job. We haven't had a budget since May, the end of May. He's not doing his job. But we can't fire him. Is that it? He can't be recalled. No, he cannot be recalled because recalled is not law in Illinois. It is not on the books. Because if it was on the books and if Rauner knew he could be recalled, we'd have a budget. We would have a budget in this town. But see, he knows he cannot be recalled. The only way you can get Rauner out of office in Illinois is for him to be found. Corrupt. He has to be found to be corrupt. There has to be corruption. And I would have to say this. I think Illinois is the number one town for corruption. We must have had about 10, 20 people in the last couple of years go to jail for corruption. And some people are still waiting for their sentences. So this has been a town for corruption. And I do think Governor Rauner not doing his job, not caring, not doing anything, is committing corruption. He will be held, he will be led out in handcuffs. I do think that. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I apologize if there's any kind of interruption in this episode. If I can say it, I think this is about my 165th or 66th, maybe even 170th episode of this show. I was getting so many episodes, I had to delete some of them. I deleted some of them. I deleted some of the ones that were kind of old, and I deleted some of the ones that are worst shows. But I don't give a bad show. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr. Show, taking a break right here. Stay with me. I will be right back. Thank you, everybody. Like I said, I apologize if this show is breaking up, and it might be because I just heard my audio break up. So, but I'm going to try and get to the show or not, and we're going to try and wait for my guest, Elisa Gabrielle. Okay, so Donald Trump, there's been protests from the Hispanic community to try and stop Donald Trump from doing Saturday Night Live. I mean, they are out there in front of, I think it's 30 Rock, the studio where Saturday Night Live is produced. And they're out there saying, wow, get this guy up off the, don't do anything, you know, don't let him on the show. But the network NBC is going to go on with Donald Trump. Why? Because of ratings. Okay? Why? Because of money, revenue. Money will be coming into the station. Now, these people out here that are protesting him, saying because he doesn't want, he's going to deport immigrants or something like that, they're wasting their breath. They're wasting their time. Because who knows, the producers of the show might be thinking the same thing as Donald Trump thinking. Get them out of here if they're illegal or whatever. But it's all about business. This is business. And the people out there are hoping that somebody sides with them and feel a little sympathetic to their cause and throw Donald Trump off or do not have him on the show. Donald Trump will be on the show. He will be there. Whether you like it or not, Donald Trump will be on that show. Saturday Night Live. I'm not going to watch it because I'm not going to vote for him. But I do know this. Nobody's going to stop Donald Trump from being on the show. It's too much about money, too much about ratings. They know that people are going to tune in just to watch Donald Trump. He's an entertainer. He is an entertainer. He said he was an entertainer. I entertain, you know. But right now, like I was saying, Carson is ahead of Trump nationally and in North Carolina. Criticized the retired. Okay, Donald Trump has criticized Ben Carson, soft-spoken demeanor, and raise questions about his strict Seventh-day faith or something like that. And like I said before, Ben Carson, everybody, they're now the media and everybody who's anybody, because of his surge in the polls, they're going through his background. They are going through the guy's background like a fine-tooth comb. I mean, they're asking him everything. He's selling books like I don't know what. He's making money probably the way he never had made money before. You know, so Donald Trump, I mean, it says here, Ben Carson, Donald Trump, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, North Carolina poll, GOP. Okay, these are tags. Okay, so it's crazy. It's crazy. My understanding is that the Republicans will not debate in February because they have issues with the moderators and the questions being asked of them. So my understanding is that the Democrats had taken their spot. The Democrats taken their – the Republicans didn't want that February spot, so the Democrats have replaced them in that spot with NBC. As we know, as you know, as I know, the Republicans were pissed off at some of the questions that they couldn't answer. Easy questions. And some of the questions were right on. They just refused not to answer. And I do fault the moderators of their last debate, because I don't think the moderators actually asked questions about policy. They didn't ask questions about issues. They were personal questions. And America, when you're choosing a president, when you're choosing an employee, you don't ask personal questions. You ask questions pertaining to the job that this person is seeking. All right. This is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. I apologize if the show is cracking and breaking up, but I'm going to try and get through it if I can, because the equipment is kind of wicky-wacky, because my original server, original internet company that I've had for 6 or 7 years, totally went under. I don't know what happened to these guys. I don't know what happened. They've gone out of business or something. I mean, the payments were kept up more so than what they thought they would be. But I guess you go into business, you go out of business, you know. And everybody's telling me, well, get Comcast, George, Comcast. And then some people saying, well, AT&T. I don't want to get these people. These people will rob me blind. And I'm not going to be robbed blind. Okay? So I'm just going to deal with what I can deal with right here. If it's now, I will check the show out as soon as it's done, so I can see how bad it is. If it's bad at all, 347-857-1762. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. And it is a beautiful night. It is a great night. You know what people are talking about now? This is something stupid, something silly, but people are just, they're talking about it. Is the hot dog a sandwich? What is your thoughts on that? Is a hot dog a sandwich? I mean, if someone asked me that question, and I have been asked that question, I would probably say, no, a hot dog is not a sandwich. A hot dog is a hot dog. It's not a sandwich. I like two pieces of bread, and you put, you know, bologna or cheese or bacon or hamburger or something. A hot dog bun is just for a hot dog. You add mustard, relish, ketchup, or tomato or whatever onto that hot dog. So is it a sandwich? Some people seem to think it is. Some people don't give a damn. So when I first heard the question, and I heard this on the media, my thinking was, wow, it must be a slow news day, right? So people were responding. They were responding when the question was put to them, is the hot dog a sandwich? Is it a sandwich? No, it is not a sandwich. That's the way I think. If you think differently, 347-857-1762. All right, that's enough for the hot dog. If the hot dog is a sandwich, it's crazy. This guy in Fox Lake, I mean, this police officer, Gwinovich, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, he is, I mean, every time you look around, you turn on the news, you're looking at this, or you're looking at the internet, this guy really played these people of Fox Lake, Illinois, this Gwinovich, this cop. They say he staged his own suicide, his own killing. At first he claimed that three people shot him, and then it was later, and they celebrate. They gave this guy a hero's welcome. 40,000 cops around the world came to his funeral. Donations were made to his family. They were all on television, you know. So now we're hearing that this guy was a scumbag. He was a scumbag. He was a lawbreaker. He was a creep. Okay? He hired a hitman, allegedly hired a hitman to go after a person in that town. He stole money from the organization that I'm assuming he was a part of. The shit just keeps coming out about this guy. But one of the things I do know, they really put him on a pedestal before all this came out. You know, so they were really made a fool of, and I'm pretty sure that they are really pissed off about that. Now they're saying that the wife and the son may have aided and abetted this guy in all of this. They may have been a part of it. So this case is still ongoing, it's still opening, it's still breaking. So we'll see where it goes, but it just get bizarre by the minute, by the hour, you know. And this Russian and let's talk about this Russian airplane that was blown out of the air. They're saying that it was terrorist. It was blown out over Egypt. Now no planes wants to fly over in that airspace. Man, the news just keep coming. It is just so crazy around here. Okay. All right. Apparently my guest isn't going to show up because she had a 6:30 call in. But apparently I'm going to have to do the show without her. But who knows? This is an hour-long show. So, yeah, another hour long, maybe a little less. But she still have time to call in. But anyway, I'm going to take a break right here. I'm going to be right back. Stay with me, everybody. And like I said before, if you hear any cracking or breaking up in the show, my sincere apologies. All right, I'll be right back. All right. Some of us have seen the trailer to Spike Lee's Chirac. The movie will not be out, from my understanding, until December 4th. Chirac is a movie that is made about Chicago's violence. And I saw some of the trailer. I don't know. I don't know. It didn't look like Chicago violence. There was violence in it. Wesley Snipes is in the movie. Samuel L. Jackson, this guy from, I forget his name, Nick Cannon or something. These guys are in the movie. And it's about Chicago South Side, the Inglewood area. I saw the trailer and I wasn't impressed. I was not impressed. I'm not saying that's going to equate to the whole movie once it comes out, because I don't plan seeing the movie. I really don't. I live in Chicago and I'm like Mary Emanuel, and I'm not a fan of Mary Emanuel, but I do agree with him in this aspect, that this movie gives Chicago a bad name. It puts Chicago in a bad light. If you go back and archive one of my shows on Chirac, you'll see and you will hear my feelings on it, and my feelings are negative. I don't like it. We're not Iraq. We're not terrorists. The only reason why there's so much violence on the north side of the city is because of the lack of police presence. And I mean, you can talk about parenting, you can talk about gangs, you can talk about idiots, you can talk about people who are uneducated. The mere fact that it's not enough police presence, if you would saturate those areas with police officers and other crime prevention programs, you could put a nail in this. You can put a nail in this, but you don't. I mean, like I said before, the gangbangers know when the police are there. They know when the police are gone. I mean, when the police are there, the gangbanger is going to be out of sight. They're not going to be around the cops. The minute the cops go, hey, they come straight out and going to start shooting. You have to stay in those communities. And another thing the police have to do, in my estimation, they don't just watch the gangbangers. Get them off the corner. Disperse them. Don't let them stand there. You know they're up to no wrong. You know they're up to wrong. Stop them from standing on the corners. If they look like they're thugs, if they look like they have guns, go search them. You have probable cause. You know, but Chirac, one of the things I disagree with the movie about is that Chirac is equating the entire city with violence. The entire city of Chicago is not plagued with violence. It's not plagued with violence. The entire city. So the movie is totally wrong. Detroit, I believe, has a higher crime rate than Chicago. Baltimore, you know, but it's a shame that the crime that occurred in Chicago is not solved and is happening. We had a 9-year-old boy gunned down a few days ago, execution style. The police said he was gunned down because the gangbangers was trying to, you know, retaliate against the father, lured the son into the alley and just pumped the 9-year-old boy with bullets. And the shooter is still on the loose. And then we had a young lady who is a model, 20 years old. She was leaving her grandfather's house on the south side, and someone came up and just shot her in the back, killed her. She was a model. She had won awards. She was on her way to getting a great job, having a great future. And somebody just snuffed her life out just like that. And that's and the shooter is not caught. And I've said this many times on this show. If you do not apprehend these guys and arrest these guys, they are going to do that again. You have to take these guys out. But there's no one in custody for these two horrific murders. Now, we're talking about two horrific murders. But as we talk about that, other people also have been shot, wounded, or something. Domestic violence, some guy beating up on his wife or his girlfriend. It's just a mess, the violence that occurred, not only in Chicago, but in other places too. And budgets are being strained. Cops are being laid off. Actually, they're hiring police officers. They're giving them a good salary, a great salary. Let's just hope they don't get killed. You know, I think the police officers, especially when they are patrolling a city like Chicago, deserve every cent they can get. Every cent that they get, because you know what? They're going to earn it. Don't think it's a lot of money when you're first starting off as a police officer. If you're thinking that, think again, because you will earn it. The violence in this city and in other cities is no joke. It is no joke. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Apparently, my romance, the guest, Elissa Gabriel, she's not so far have appeared on the show, and I'm still waiting. It's almost 10 minutes before 7, isn't it? And she still hasn't came onto the show. And I want to say this again. And I'm going to be saying this throughout this show, and I'm nervous as hell about it. As you see, I'm not having too many commercial clips being played on the show because I don't know if they are cracking up or breaking up, but I will find out later once the show is over. So like I said, if the show is cracking up, breaking up, I totally apologize. Totally apologize. All right, let's move right along with some more commentary, if I can give that, and my opinion. And my number is 347-857-1762. Okay, in Chicago, the parishes, the archdiocese is in trouble. Okay, the Catholic churches, the Catholic schools, the private schools, and some of the churches are closing. They're called parishes. They're closing because of low enrollment. I've talked about this before on this show. Low enrollment. I mean, that's not just the Catholic churches or parishes. That's all over. People are not going to church. You know, they are not going to church. And this is why some of the parishes in Chicago are closing. Some of the private schools that these archdioceses are in charge of, they're closing their doors. Low enrollment. I've known a lot of people. I've talked to some people who have taken their kids out of private school, out of Catholic schools, and put their kids in public schools because it was just beyond their means. They may have lost their jobs or whatever. And so maybe that's one of the reasons for low enrollment in some of these schools, Catholic schools and churches, where people aren't just, you know, giving up going to church. That does not mean that they stop believing in Jesus. It doesn't mean that they don't believe in God. It's just that, you know, they've just given up going to churches, Sunday school, and all of that kind of thing, you know. And a lot of people have gone to Sunday school since they were little kids and stuff like that. But it just shows you that people are cutting budgets. Money is tight. Money is tight. And everything is going up, 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 up. Food is high. Gas is going up. That's a surprise, right? Clothes. Anything you buy is going up. I mean, cereal. Cereal is high as hell. Cereal costs a lot of money. And you know what? One of the things about cereal, I'm hearing that people aren't buying cereal as much as they used to in the past. However, cereal is still on the rise. the price have increased. And get this, the price has increased on a box of cereal. However, the box is thinner. Have you ever noticed that when you went to the store and you went to the cereal section and you went to grab that box of cereal that you've been buying forever, and all of a sudden it's got a higher price, but it's in a thinner box? They're giving you less and you pay more. That's just about the same for everything that you buy. You get a lot less and you're going to pay more for it. That's totally unfair. Somebody should be kicked in the ass for that. You know, because that has happened to me. That has happened to me. And even my son noticed it. Daddy, this is a thinner box, you know. So maybe that's why cereal is not a good seller anymore. Especially the sugar stuff. I mean, if the sugar stuff should not be sold. I mean, because, you know, it's gonna ruin your kids' teeth and, you know, diabetes along the line, probably. So, and a lot of companies, production companies, food companies, they're cutting down on sugar and cereal. They're cutting down on cereal, sugar, and just about everything, sugar and salt, because they know down the line that sugar and salt can reap really negative benefits on your body, you know. So a lot of parishes are closing. The archdiocese is in trouble. And I'm pretty sure it's probably not Chicago. It could be some other cities around the United States that are doing the same thing. And that's just sad. It's very sad because, I mean, anytime you see churches closed, because churches, majority of churches, you go to the churches and they're asking for money. But, you know, I don't know. 347-857-1762. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. And it is, what time is it? 6:54. No guests. Okay, I don't know if my guest is going to show up, but I will keep talking until she gets here or she does not get here. And, okay, they said it was a bomb found on the Russian plane. And that blew it apart up in the air. And terrorist. Maybe it was ISIS. You know, that they're trying to figure that out right now. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr., George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I'm going to play a clip, and I'm hoping it doesn't break up. It might. But if you don't know anything about Chirac, this clip should tell you a little bit about Chicago and violence. Okay, let's hope it works. All right, if it doesn't work, y'all let me know, all right? Okay, here we go. Chirac.
Chicago was always a violent place, you know what I'm saying? As time go on, it just got more and more violent because the attitude, shit, changed to now everybody don't get no fuck. Don't nobody give a fuck, and with ain't no leaders out here, ain't nobody accountable for their actions. You can do what the fuck you want, basically, you know what I'm saying? So without no repercussions, without no leaders telling you sit your ass down or beating your ass for doing something.
All right, it seems like it's cracking up, so we'll save that audio for the next time. I heard it crack up through my earphones, through my headset, and so I'm going to keep talking. So I do want to caution everybody that this show, it may be cracking up. I'm not sure because I'm on a different server, but we're going to try and have that rectified hopefully in the coming weeks, if not the coming days. So this is George Wilder Jr. broadcasting live from Chicago. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful time. And it's a time where you start thinking about the upcoming holidays. Yeah, this is the holiday season. And you got Thanksgiving. You got Christmas. You got New Year's. So this is the holiday season. And I don't know. It seemed like it came pretty fast. It just came pretty fast. So, you know, we're going to be talking about a lot of those things and stuff like that on this show, on the George Wilder Jr. Show. So I want to, let's see if I can't play something here. I will be right back. All right, it's cracking up. Apparently, I can't do that. Okay, a lot of people said, is Ben Carson gone insane? No, has America gone insane? America is putting Ben Carson over the top. So has America gone insane? Okay, so I don't know. You know, so has America gone insane? I do think America has a brain cramp in some ways because we don't vote. We just do not vote. It just does not happen. It does not happen. And I don't understand why. You know, maybe I do understand, but, you know, it's going to have to sink in a little bit deeper. Because we have to vote. Come 2015, November 2016, I'm still nervous a little bit about the show here because I'm, you know, on another network here. So I'm still wondering if people are going to get out here and vote. I'm just a voice out here in the wilderness, but it's a caring voice. Go back, archive, listen to my previous shows, and you will hear my concern on this, voting rights. I've talked about this 1,000 times. People died for our chance to vote. If you live in the United States, and you're over 18 and you're a citizen, there's no excuse for you not to be registered to vote. You can vote for whoever you want as long as you register to vote. And we can change the direction of this country. We can change how things operate in this country. We don't need a bunch of We don't need a Republican, a crazy, know-nothing Republican. We need to get out here and do our duty and vote. We need to get out here and do that. Okay, we're going to be doing a show on elder abuse, and I just have to do that. Because it's something that touches a lot of people, elder abuse, you know, senior abuse. We're going to be doing that. We're going to be doing more on gun violence, okay? We're going to be doing a show on leadership. We're going to do a show on Jehovah Witnesses. A lot of these shows I've done before. We're going to do shows on being an adjunct professor. So, like I said, we're going to do a lot of these shows. It's going to be done in the near future or a few days. So I'm going to take a break right here. I'll be right back. If it cracks up, hey, friends and fans, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. You know, it costs a lot to keep this show airing. It takes time, preparation, and dedication. And most of all, it takes revenue. If you would like to donate to keep this show on the air each and every day, just about, go to www.georgewilderjr.com. That's www.georgewilderjr.com to help keep this important show on the air. Donate for a good cause, the cause of this show. All right, then we got some of that in, right? Okay, I am an author. You can go check out my books. I've written a lot of books. I'm going to have some stuff up here, up there on Amazon. And I heard Amazon has its own store in the area, an Amazon store is in the area. Yeah, I mean, I've ordered a lot of stuff, and I see the Amazon, their buses or their vans driving around the neighborhood delivering packages, I'm assuming. And as a writer, if you are a writer and you are published on Amazon, your book will be in an Amazon store, whether it's a hardback, paperback, or an ebook, it will be available in an Amazon store. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that nice? A friend of mine told me that, a Facebook friend. She said she'd mentioned that. So that was beautiful. And so I can go to Amazon and check out my ebooks and see how many people are downloading the electronic writings on the Amazon. That's great. That's wonderful. And like I said, I am a writer. I mean, if you want to check out what I write, and I try to write things, even if I write fiction or nonfiction, there's always something you can use. There's always something you can use in whatever I write. I mean, when I write, I throw the kitchen sink in there, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. I mean, I really write. I mean, someone told me, which I've had this this accolade before, that I was a very, very good writer. I've heard this so many times, and I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just trying to get you to realize that I'm a very good writer. If you are a reader and you like to read, go to George Wilder Jr. .com or either George Wilder Jr. Amazon. Whether you're going to choose a book, an essay, or a short story, you know, it's there, especially my latest stuff. I would recommend my latest stuff because the longer I write, the more I write, and the longer I write, the better I would get at it. And I would think that would go for any writer. You know, you get better at your craft no matter how long you've been doing it. You get better at it. The more you do it, the better you'll get at it. And I think that's one of the things that has happened to me. I've gotten a lot better at my craft, and I am very proud of it. And I love what I do. So that's why I love having authors on the show. I mean, they just bring so much to the show. I mean, I learn stuff too. And we're always looking out for other authors, authors about the. Now, there are some authors who I prefer not to be on the show. I don't do erotica, you know, but I will have someone on the show to talk about it, but I don't like erotica. I just don't feel that sex, writing to me is creativity, it's talent. It's a craft. It's an art. You're writing erotica. Erotica is not creativity. Erotica is not art or craft. It's just, and the thing about it, most of this stuff is written by women. Women. Writing is dirty, low down, deviant garbage. I'm going to say it just like it is, garbage. I think erotica writing is garbage. There's a lot of romance writers who write romance. It doesn't come anywhere near erotica writing. Now, on Facebook, I get some of my groups and my news feed spammed with erotica, you know, and when it comes, my friends will let me know that somebody has been screwing around with my site and putting up dirty pictures, and I just go there and I just click off of it. It's not that I don't like sex. It's okay, but it's not, when it comes to creating and writing, it's garbage. You know, I mean, erotica is garbage. I'm not romance writing is not garbage, but when you infuse it with that deviant sex in it, and I've read quite a few erotica books, and I don't like them. I really don't like them, and I really do not have that kind of thing on my show. And I hope I have not offended anyone. I really do hope that I haven't offended anyone, but that's the way I am. And I really do not like erotica on my show, okay? But somehow I slept at this time, and I decided to let her come on the show, but somehow she's not coming on the show, so I'm going to bash her book, bash what she does. No, I'm just kidding. So that's the way I feel about erotica. I mean, I love reading just like any other author. I love to write. You know, I love talking about my craft, my talent, my creativity. But erotica is not that. Not to me. And the stuff is written by women. Some women are the first ones to holler sexual harassment if you look at them in a different way. Rape and all this stuff. Yet they go out and write this erotica crap and act as if it's talent or some sort of craft or art, and it's not. How many ways can you write about sex? And a lot of times there is no story there. There's no story whatsoever. It's just about somebody just, you know, steaming hot for some sex. Every page is just dripping with sperm, you know. So that's not talent. From my view and from my understanding and from where I stand, erotica, especially that deviant crap, I've said this before, sex, having sex, performing sex, doing sex has been here since the age of man. Sex has been here since the age of man. It's nothing new. When you create a writing, a story, it has to be new. Now, sex is nothing new. I tell people, be original at what you do. Be original. Write something new. Write something somebody hasn't read already. Give us something we don't know. Don't keep giving us something we already know, because there's too many erotica books out. There's no story. No story. Just a bunch of words. The next page is sex, 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 and no story, or no real story. So I don't do erotica because I always feel that it's not talent. Like I said, it's not talent. It's just nothing. And there are so many people out there who do it, who write it. I don't think it's a good seller. I don't think people buy it. But, like I said, I never had an erotica author on the show. I've had romance authors, but they didn't write erotica. They just wrote straight romance. Now, in some of the books that I write and in some of the short stories that I produce, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, but in some of the stories that I write, there is sex in some of my books. But if you can say it's clean sex or it's tasteful sex or whatever, you might say it that way. But erotica is dirty, low-down, deviant sex. You know, you be, whoa, you know. But I do write about it. I mean, but I just write it in the context of the story. None of my stories are fused with it. It's not all over the place. It's not on every page. Because having sex is a part of life. It's normal. There's nothing wrong with it. I remember years ago, if you had sex with somebody would say, oh, man, that's nasty. But there is nothing wrong with having sex. But, you know, if you're going to be a writer, be original. There's nothing wrong with putting sex into your story, but don't saturate every page with it. Deviant, low down, hard sex, like a porno movie or something, you know, because that's basically what erotica is. It's a porno movie of words. It's a porno movie of words. And let me reiterate this again. It is not. Erotica is not talent. It's not creativity. You're not creating anything in there. All you're doing is, you know, lusting for some man or lusting for some girl or woman, you know, on every damn page. Now, there is a short story that I have on Amazon called I Got Stung. It's about a guy who's trying to shun sexual attentions of some of the women that he worked with. Now, I got a review on that particular story, and a lady said, well, you think I don't even like it. I don't even like that. You, and this lady who gave, who said a negative thing about it, she didn't put a review on it. She just felt that it was a book and that she didn't like the fact that women were chasing after this guy trying to get him to have sex with them, you know. But that's not erotica. I didn't write. That's just a pure old story that in some ways did happen to me. Some of it's fiction, some of it's not, but you as a reader, you would have to figure that out. But there is a story there. It's a story. Okay, here's the real story. But to write about sex, to write a 300-page or, to write a 200 or 300-page book about sex and else, that's not talent. That's not a creativity. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, 347-857-1762. All right, Thanksgiving is coming up, and what we're going to do, we're going to go out and we're going to help feed the hungry. That's what we're going to do on Thanksgiving. Instead of sitting around the house eating, we might as well get out there and do something, and that's what we're going to do, aren't we? Yeah. So I've already called and made the arrangements for that, so while you guys at home having dinner and with your families and stuff, we're going to be out here helping the hungry people, feeding them, because it's so many people out here who are hungry, who are homeless. And I've always said, if you can't help someone make it through life, then what are we here for? You have to be able to help other people help themselves. And that's nothing like helping someone who wants to help themselves. Because once you know that people want to help themselves, then it makes you want to help them because they're trying. On the other hand, there's a lot of people out here who just want somebody to give them something because they feel they deserve to have it because they're poor. No way. There's no sense in trying to help someone who doesn't want help, but they still want you to give. If I give to someone, I'm going to make sure that they are trying to help themselves. It's called a hand up and not a hand out. Because I think, especially if you're young, you're vibrant, you're strong, you should not be down in the dumps. You should be elevating yourself to be the best that you can be. You know, so we're going to go out here and talk and help others on Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, because for the last few Thanksgivings, we've been at home, dinner, blah, 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 fam, blah, 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 blah. But we're going to do something great. We're going to take our food from our refrigerator and give it to those who are deserving. So my son, he has volunteered many times to work at the Chicago Food Depository. I think it was a couple times. I'm going to try to get him back there once he gets out of school for the summer, because I think, but you know what? That's a criteria. I mean, that's something, that's a grade for his class. He gets graded for that. I mean, he gets graded for doing something that's community related, if I can say it that way. But this Thanksgiving, Christmas, maybe even New Year's, we're going to be out here helping those who can't help themselves and who are out here homeless through no reason of their own, okay? Put it that way. But like I said before, I'm not going to try to help anybody if they're not going to help themselves. Because this is not about taking a change out of my pocket and giving it to you. It's about me helping you to get back on your feet, to get your life going. If I see that someone wants to sleep on the ground, then be my guest and sleep on the ground. But if you're sleeping on the ground and you want to get off the ground, I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you. I'm not here to give you $5 or $10 and say, hey, so long. I'm here to help you get your life together. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. with George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. What do you think? What do you think? Thank you. All right, I hear you. All right, it's cracking up a little bit. Okay, we got 4 days with it. All right, we're back. We are back. All right. Okay, so we're going to be doing a show about Jehovah Witnesses, adjunct. I'm running down the list here. Chirac. I tried to play the clip earlier. It's cracking up, but we'll see what can happen. Okay. CNN. Okay, we're talking about emails, dart on cuts. When you think about cuts, you think about, okay, at this time, I would be playing Open Our Eyes, but I'm not going to play it because I'm pretty sure it's going to crack up. So I'm going to say this again. If this episode is cracking up and breaking up or whatever, forgive me. It could be the internet. It could be the server or the internet provider. But we're going to have that straight hopefully really, really soon. I can't put a, because I don't know. I really don't know because there's so many other things I'm doing. I'm working on to say something to Bruce Rauner. Bruce, if you're listening, if you're out, and let's have a budget for Illinois. I don't know why you want to sit back and just let this beautiful state go under. I just don't know why. It is not funny. I'm just laughing because I'm looking at somebody right now, and she's just smiling. But anyway, I can archive some of my shows. You will know that. You will know that, how I feel about that, okay? But this is crazy. And they're also talking about the teachers, the school system in Chicago, the teachers, the unions, they are set to strike in January, February. They are set to strike. They even took, in this town, they even took a strike vote. My son does not go to a traditional public school. He goes to a charter school. But the charter school is public school because the charter school is accepting public money. But per se, he goes to a charter school. He will not be affected by the strike because charter schools, their teachers, their staff, they're not a part of any union. This is public schools who are part of a collective bargaining. And so the strike will not, but it's still a sad day in Chicago. I mean, you're going to have thousands and thousands and thousands of teachers striking, blocking traffic in the downtown loop like before because they're not getting a contract. But they're saying that the reason why they're not getting a contract is because there's no money coming from Springfield. Springfield is who? Governor Rauner. Well, if they're expecting money from Springfield, but then they might as well get out there and strike. Because without money from Springfield, thousands and thousands and thousands of teachers in Chicago will be laid off. And that's one of the reasons why they are going on strike. And from what I'm hearing, this strike may be for months. Months. I mean, if the strike is for months and months, well, then the kids can forget about a summer vacation. Because every time they strike, they make up those days that they were out on strike. So the kids have to make up those days and stay extra days, especially when they are supposed to be out of school. But if they're out for 2 and 3 months, the kids can kiss their summer vacation by. Maybe even their spring vacation, winter vacation, Christmas vacation for 2016. So it is not a laughing matter. It is funny. And I'm hoping that this doesn't happen but in the back of my mind, I'm thinking it is going to happen because Rauner is such Bruce Rauner, John Cullerton, Madigan, Michael Madigan. These guys are stubborn to the hilt. They rather sit back and watch this state go over a hill, go down a toilet, than to try to save it. Okay, Bruce Rauner wants unions. Michael Madigan said, hell no, you're not going to get unions. Bruce Rauner said, well, then you will not get any money for the schools. Bruce Rauner and Rahm Emanuel are fighting in the media, calling each other's names. They're pissed off at each other. Rauner is pissed off at Rahm Emanuel because he raised property taxes. He raised taxes, $588 million. Rahm is pissed off at Rauner because Rauner won't sign a fucking budget. So and the people in the state are caught in the limbo. Are suffering, not these guys. These guys are not suffering. They're rich. They're making the middle class, the struggling poor, and the poor go through this because they can't get their acts together. So the state is screwed up. This state is worse than any state ever in America. Illinois. Okay, this state is worse than any state in the state of Illinois. 347-857-1762. All right, we're still having some problems. I can see. Let's try this one. Okay. Well, at least we're still on the air, right? All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, at least we're still on the air. And we're still recording because every show is recorded. Every show is archived. Every show is podcast. I'm also on iTunes. And this is one of the shows where I never have talked so much. I usually just have a lot of clips, commercials. And I want to say this. I say commercial, but this is actually a commercial-free radio show. A lot of the guests come on the show. I let them just talk until their heart's content, until I just, you know, say, hey, wow, that's enough. But they talk to their heart's content, and we don't really have an interview. It's always like a conversation on this show. And, okay, romance writer, she didn't show up, and I apologize for everybody out there who was waiting for Gabriel, Alyssa Gabriel. She did not show up on the show. She did not appear. She did not come. I remember inboxing her on Facebook, telling her that I really didn't do erotica. But I thought that she was going to come on the show anyway because I had booked her. She was booked to be on the show. She said she would be on the show. And I did tell her I did not do erotica. So maybe she changed her mind about being on the show. I will contact her as soon as the show is over and find out and tell her that I was very disappointed that she wasn't on the show, even though I don't do erotica. But I was willing to, you know, let her come on the show since after I had booked her, before I knew that she did erotica. But I always knew that she was a writer. I knew she was a writer. And that's what I love. Coming on my show is a writer. And we'll just have to figure it out. Okay, let's see. Let's move right along. Okay, like I said, I never talk so much because I'm usually... Okay, more severe in Texas. That must be the storm. Okay, Amazon. Okay, we talked about the Amazon reviews, fake reviews. Okay. It says right here, most Illinois students are not ready for college. That's a lie. I think my kid's ready for college. I think he's ready for anything, you know. And like I said, I'm so proud of him. I am so proud of my kid. I don't know what to do. And I hope you're proud of your children, too. Okay, someone just told me in my ear I have 90 seconds on the show. Let's see what we can talk about. Okay. All right. This is George Wilder Jr. at the George Wilder Jr. Show. Oh, yeah. One of the union personnel called Governor Rauner a sociopath. I mean, this was all on television, it was video, internet. She called him a sociopath. And he responded that he doesn't take the name calling, and he just, when people call him names, when they're impolite or something like that, he just ignores them. You know, he just ignores them. But, I mean, a lot of people don't like Rauner. And he goes around smiling and grinning like he's the nicest person. And you have some steadfast Republicans, conservatives out there who are in his corner no matter what because they just hate poor people. They hate Democrats. They hate liberals. They just hate. I've had a few call this show. And I've heard few who called other shows, other talk show, you know, chewing them out. So if you get a irate, you know, I mean, erratic conservative on your show, you listen to them and then you say, hey, thanks for your time. Bye.